On today's episode, we're answering the question, how can I create an intentional connection with my audience that will lead to sales? Thriving in business does not mean you have to lose yourself. It does not mean following cookie cutter advice.
What it means is finding what works for you, for your audience, and for your business, and working the process until you get to the level of success that you're looking for.
This podcast is designed to give you the tools and inspiration to build your business on your terms.
I'm Jenny Wright.
I'm Allison Lex.
And welcome to The System to Thrive.
When you have that connection with someone, and I'm talking the human to human connection that you've probably heard Jenny and I talk about before, because that's what's essential if you want to really sell to someone, is to connect with them like a human. But when you have that connection with someone, there are two ways that it happens. One, a happy, magical accident, or two, an intentional experience designed by the person with whom you have that connection. Technically, there's probably a third way that's a good mix of the two, and that's probably the most popular. But we're going to be talking about that second type, the intentional design of connection with your ideal client. And that's why we've asked Jennifer Tamborski to be here with us today, because this is her thing. So Jennifer, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me. I love this topic.
I'm so excited to learn about it from you. And the first thing that I want to just kind of get your input on, because I have an idea, but why do we want to increase that connection?
Well, here's the reality of things, right? When you are trying to create a business, especially online, right? Because in this world that we have right now, it's almost all online. It is incredibly important to create a connection with your ideal client. Your ideal client is going to purchase from you based on the know, like, and trust that you build with them. We all know that as business owners, that know, like, and trust is the way to bring your clients in the door. And creating that connection helps to establish the know, like, and trust. And to kind of, when you do it intentionally, it kind of makes that done on steroids. It just takes that to that next level where they're not only interested in what you have to say, but they become raving fans of you. And then they're dragging all of their friends into your stratosphere.
That sounds awesome, because then it's actually making a deeper connection. And if anybody knows me, I like to create a much deeper connection with people. Once there are raving fans, are we done making the connection with them? Is that it? Like, ta-da, you're now like super status fan.
We're never done making connections with our ideal clients. I like to correlate it to dating. I like to correlate marketing to dating. And when you think about the dating process and building a relationship, even when you're married, you are never done building that relationship. That's how a lot of relationships fail in the real world, is when people are done creating that connection and establishing and really building a relationship. The same goes with your business. There comes a point after the sale where you still want to make that connection with them on a regular basis so that they continue to buy from you, because those are the people that come back every time, right? You put something, I know I have people that I follow. Every time they put something out there, I'm like, I don't really need that, but I'm gonna buy it anyway, right? I buy it anyway because I have that connection with them. And that's what you want to establish with your ideal clients.
I think too, it's not even always just about getting them to buy from you again, but it's also about providing them the experience that they, like, have you ever bought something? And I totally have bought something. And then that facade drops and you feel like a sucker.
Absolutely. That customer experience is so important with your clients. And you're right, it is not just about having them buy from you again, although with a lot of people, that's where their mind goes, right? How much is selling money in their business? It also becomes that piece of you're providing them with so much value and so much connection that they just want to stay there. You know, I've gotten purchased from a client. I'm her client, but I purchased from her. I actually outgrew her program. Like, I've outgrown her program, but I stay because of the connection and the value. And that's really what you want, is those people that want to stay in your program and continue to help you rise, right? Because I love her program so much. I want everybody to know about
it. Yeah. And it's, as someone who, I have a few people in my world that, like, I put something out, they're signing up, they're buying, what have you. It does help you. It's nice to have that friendly face, right? You get to know them. You get to know them as a person, which I think is really important. And so clearly I'm sold on this concept. What do I need to do to begin intentionally doing this connection thing?
Well, the first thing, and I'm sure you guys, I know you've talked about this in other podcasts, is really understanding your client, right? Understanding who they are, what they need. But here's something that people kind of tend to forget, understanding how they need to receive the information, because everybody receives information in different ways, right? We have auditory learners, visual learners. Some people need that video connection, and there's people that need to read. So really understanding your ideal client and how they need to receive that information will immensely help them being able to consume it.
Does the relationship have anything to, right? So being friendly, getting to know them kind of beyond just their avatar or their learning style, right? Is there a relationship component?
There's always a relationship component when it comes to building your business. That's why I put the whole process through a dating funnel kind of idea, is because building the relationship back and forth. Now, when you become, when your business gets to a point where you can't know every person in your group, right? There are those businesses out there that are very large and they can't necessarily know every person. However, what they can know is what the majority of the people that come to them, how they're feeling, what they're struggling with, where in their process do people get stuck? And then starting to kind of look at that and figuring out how to move them through that stuck.
So what's the process for that though? So you just mentioned there's a process, and I'm dying to know, or I would like to know what the process is, the sort of the granular approach.
Yeah. So the process I take my clients through is what I call dating your ideal client. So we start with obviously an introduction. And in that introduction, we start with like strategy, really understanding your ideal clients, really diving into their fears and their pain points and all of that kind of stuff. And then diving into the how they receive information so that you're able to then deliver that to them. Then we go to what I like to call the flirting phase. So stage two is really about giving them that information, providing them valuable content so that they can start to create that connection with you before they're ready to step into what I call dating, which is where a lot of business owners I know start. They start with, give me your email address, right? They miss the flirting phase and start right with that email address. And while it does work for some, it kind of, when you start with just the give me your email address, it kind of negates that relationship, right? It becomes more of a transaction than building a relationship. And then we move on to the commitment phase, which is where they purchase, where they give you money, right? And then the last phase, what I like to call keeping the romance alive, which is that whole back end customer journey, making sure that they are getting the information that they need. And so that's the process that I take my clients through. And I love to really help them understand that building a relationship with your clients in a real, authentic way is just as important as getting money in your pocket. And if you do it the best way possible, you'll always have money in your pocket.
That would be the hope. So one of the things that you talk about is NLP, right? So
yeah,
I've heard about NLP many, many times over the years. It's gotten a bit of a bad rap from time to time. So people might hear this and they go, NLP, isn't that gross and manipulative? Can you break down what NLP is? Can you tell us how it can be used authentically? We all know that there's always the bad apples that take the nice thing and make it terrible for everybody. But can you just give us like a sense of what that is and how to use it with our superwoman capes on, please?
Absolutely. So NLP is neuro-linguistics programming. It's really a process of understanding your map of the world and someone else's map of the world. And by understanding their map of the world, you can speak into that so that they can hear you. So it's about breaking down those barriers so people can really understand and hear what you're saying. And you're right, it's gotten a really bad rap because of those bad apples. I correlate it a lot to a hammer. You can use a hammer for a lot of damage, or you can build a house with it. The choice is yours on how you use a tool. And with NLP, with neuro-linguistics programming, you're really able to use language, because that is, it's understanding that language affects everything we do in our lives, and our subconscious rules our entire world. That's something that a lot of people tend to miss and really don't understand that. And I always like to give this example. So you're driving from point A to point Z and you forgot how you got there. You don't remember the entire drive. That's because your subconscious knew exactly where you were going and took you there. It didn't need your conscious involvement in it. That's the way most of our life is run, about 90% of it. So when we're able to speak to someone on an unconscious level, we're able to kind of break down that conscious barrier, and they're able to hear what we really mean, what we really want them to hear, and what they need to hear. So absolutely, it can be used negatively, but if it's used by the right people, it can really help both the person you're helping as well as your own business.
So how do we do that?
So there's a lot. So one of the first things, when I talked about earlier, how people learn, right? Understanding how people learn, that there are people that are auditory. So using words like sounds, does that sound good? Do you hear me? There are people that are kinesthetic. So the feeling words, how does that feel to you? You know, can you feel that? Can you touch, you know, those kind of things. There are people that are auditory digital, which means they spend a lot of time in their head. So you use words like understand and, you know, make sense. And then you have people who are more visual. So how does that look to you? Can you see that? So when you're writing your marketing copy, you want to make sure that, obviously, I'm going to preface this with saying it doesn't all go in one sentence, but you want to make sure that you're hitting those points in your marketing copy so that, you know, you can, so someone can see the vision of the end product. Someone else can feel how they're going to feel when they've gone through your process. Someone else, it's the sound of the cha-ching in the bank, or, you know, someone else, these are very clear steps that you're taking, right? And making sure that your ideal client, that you're hitting all of those points, really does help them to move through the process.
I think what you're saying is good. And I think what we need to pull out of this, so people understand it a little bit better, at least I know I needed this when people were first starting to talk to me about NLP and sales and communication styles, is I think we need to create some examples. So I want to look at examples on how we can use this in a sales call or something. So as an example for me, when I'm doing a sales call with somebody, and this may be NLP-esque or not, is I do ask permission a lot. I get in there and I'll talk to people and I'll say, look, you know what? I'd like to share a solution with you. If that makes sense, is that okay? So I am trying to connect with them on an emotion, like a deeper level. And I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that with NLP, you are trying to find out how the person connects and how the person needs to be either spoken to or talked to or related to, and connect with that person in that particular way. Would I be correct in sort of saying that?
That is definitely part of it. You know, making on a sales call, it's learning. It's also learning about how that person is speaking to you. So the example you used is, I'd like to show you a solution that makes sense, right? That's using an auditory digital verbiage. If the person that you're talking to has, and you've asked them, you know, what are your goals? And they're like, I feel like, if they're using those terms, using words like, does that make sense, isn't going to connect with them. But offering them something more like, you know, I'd love to offer you, you know, some more information about this solution. Would you like to look at that? Then the person who is a visual learner absolutely hears that. So that's kind of when you are using this type of language and understanding in your sales calls, it's really about listening to what they're saying and then being able to speak back to them in that same language.
I really like that because it's that active listening part that I know is really important in sales. You know, I got to bring it back to the copy because when we write copy, we don't have that real-time feedback. So how do we do it there?
So that's where you use it in multiple points. Like one paragraph may be all about the visual. It may be giving them the full visual of what their life is going to look like. One paragraph may be all about how it's going to sound to them. One may be all about how it's going to feel to them. And one may be all about the thinker and, you know, what makes sense to them. And like I said a little bit ago, you don't want to do this all in one sentence. You can. I mean, there's a way to write it out in one sentence, but it is easier for those that are not trained in NLP to just look at their copy and make sure that they're hitting all of those points in some portion of their copy.
When I was in college, I was a creative writing minor. I was very ambitious, two majors and a minor. And we had to read this book, and I forget the name of it, but it was all about the five senses. And what I'm picking up from that is if when you're future casting or giving your imagined statements or encouraging them to envision their future life, if you hit all five senses, you're likely to hit the points that you need to hit. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Exactly. You're likely to be able to speak to your ideal clients in a way they can hear. And here's the thing. A lot of people, when they write their copy, they write it from their own senses, right? Like, you know, Jenny, I can tell, is auditory digital. She spends a lot of time in her head. She uses words like make sense, whereas Allison uses words like visual and imagine and envision in what she's writing. And so I also am very auditory digital. So I use words like make sense a lot. So when I write my own copy, I will put make sense in there all over the place. And then the people who are visual, that's not going to connect with them. They're not going to care. That's, you know, it's just not. And so if you're very aware that there are people that don't learn the way you learn, you're more likely to attract a wider audience. The biggest mistake people make when they're writing their copy is writing from their own perspective, because then they're only attracting them, their people, right? And if you break down those four areas into percentages of the world, right, which isn't exactly right, but it's the easiest. So you're attracting 25% of the population. If you use all four of them, you get to attract 100%.
All right. I'm loving this. This is fantastic. One of the things that I wanted to share is I'd love for people to connect with you. So if you wouldn't mind sharing how we can connect with you, where we can find you, so that everybody who's listening can come and learn more about you.
Absolutely. So there are a couple of ways to connect with me. You can come to my website, which is virtualmarketingexpert.com. And I've just launched a new podcast. You can go to yourmarketingmatchmaker.com and it'll take you to the podcast page where you can listen to all of the tips and insights that I have on that.
That's fantastic. Congratulations on the new podcast. That's fantastic. Good job. Thank you so much for being with us today. Allison and I are really impressed with what you were talking about. We can see multiple applications for what you're sharing for our listeners to be able to enhance their marketing, enhance their, you know, their possibility of sales, creating those raving fans and deeper connection with their ideal clients and the people that are in their sphere. And that's going to increase their chances of having, like you were saying before, having better sales, and that you always have that money in your pocket, like you were saying before. So I just want to take a second and say thank you, Jennifer, for sharing all of this brilliance with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, super good. And additionally, we want to make sure that if you're listening to this podcast and you're enjoying it, that you take an opportunity to subscribe. It's very easy. Just go to the platform that you're on and hit the subscribe button, wherever it is that you're listening. You don't want to miss these episodes like the one we just had with Jennifer, which happened to drop on Tuesdays. And then Allison and I get to do little episodes together on Thursdays. And we have a wonderful drop on Mondays, which is our Monday quick tips. And we alternate between Allison and I sharing or doing those. Sometimes we come together. They're mostly just the singular episodes. Those are fun. So make sure that you do that. And if you haven't already, please consider leaving us a really honest review. We'd love to hear your feedback and know what you think of the show and what you'd like to see or hear, I should say, in the future. So thanks so much for being here, everybody. We appreciate you very much. Check us out at systemtothrive.com and we'll be back again soon answering another big question. Thanks again for watching or listening to this podcast. We hope we've answered some of your big questions today. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast anywhere you're listening and leave us a review.
We publish multiple episodes per week, all designed to help you grow your business. Look for us online on Facebook and Instagram at System to Thrive or our home on the web at systemtothrive.com.